Good morning. Today is Monday, June the 18th. We're out of school session, but for some reason we've got educators all around us. Mr. Hartley is alongside. He brought a friend, and he's also dialed in a couple of friends. Morning, Chris.
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I bet you it truly is.
We do have you surrounded this morning. Yeah. This is good.
Continuing with our non-quote, but our definitions, we're going to, why do they say that?
Oh, very
this
nice.
This is our little educational moment each
Sounds
morning.
Like a talk show.
Yeah, well, here we go. Why are good people who have died supposed to be in rest or on Abraham's bosom?
I'm going to give that one to Jenny.
Oh, great.
I don't know. All right. Because it indicates the just deserts of the holy. It was the custom among the ancients for a person to allow a dear friend to recline on his bosom when eating. Only the dead who have gone to heaven and therefore are welcomed by Abraham could hope to recline on his bosom. Ta-da! There we go.
That's a good Monday start.
There you go.
Learned a little something. All right. What we're going to do now is we're going to kick the phone over.
Sounds
you guys
great.
Are going to be talking to your buddies, doing some really interesting things here. Okay.
Sounds good.
So here we go. You guys are on.
All right. Thank you so much. Good morning, Susie Hushley. Are you out there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Chris Hartley.
So, hi, Susie.
Susie, Jenny Bowen and I are here with you this morning. And so could you let us know who's in your van? So what we're doing is we're talking to Susie Hushley and the team Dragon as they're headed across the country. And I think this morning when I looked on the website, you guys are in Kansas. Is that right?
That's correct. We've crossed in this morning early into Kansas. And we're currently in the car with our crew chief, Bob Shaner, and Michael's daughter, who's also a crew member, Sarah and Davy Hughes.
Oh, that's
Big old semi going by. Heat fog, and that means that Michael rides, and he's riding at what miles per hour, Bob?
Right now, he's about 18 to 21 miles per hour. In fact, that's what we need to write down. Sarah, write down 17.2.
So he's riding along on this vast open highway, and we get in behind him, right up next to him, make sure, does he need anything? He'll holler out, I need some gum, or I need some water. And then we hand it out the window, and then we take off and park a mile ahead and wait till he passes us and do it all again. We're leapfrogging all across Kansas.
That's fantastic. Wow. So, Susie, I think a lot of people might not know what this event is all about. Do you mind giving us a quick description of what Team Dragon is doing and where you guys started and what's the ultimate goal of the project real quick?
Sure. So Michael Davies Hughes is racing across America. This is a race. He started in Oceanside, California, and will end in Annapolis, Maryland in 12 days. He is doing this to raise awareness for early literacy, and we are raising contributions and donations for the early literacy program for the Decade of Difference in Humboldt County. It's an incredible event. It's extremely grueling. Michael has been through extreme pain, extreme exhaustion, and just keeps on going. If you could see this man who just rode by us, you would not believe that he has already ridden nearly 1,500 miles over nearly 20 hours every day for the last 6 days.
Well, it's quite
still got 6 more to go.
Well, I can tell you this. What's really cool about it is we can all track you through the Team Dragon website and follow his progress. And I have to say that in the county office, productivity has gone way down.
Yeah, we got your email.
People are certainly rallying around him, though. It's been really fun to watch.
I think one of the most motivating moments, I don't know, most motivating, but one of the very motivating moments was when Heidi Moore had written a note saying that she hadn't ever noticed or seen mobilization in our county behind an effort like he's seeing here. And he just feels so good about that mobilization that this has caused. I mean, I would think I would like to mobilize someone not riding 1,500 miles plus 1,500 more. But he's doing it.
What we're going to do is...
That's fantastic.
He can affect things.
What do you think is one of the most challenging moments, Susie, as you guys have made the trip?
I'm going to let Bob talk about the most challenging moment because he was there.
Okay.
Most challenging moment? Well, we sort of got caught in what we call a weather hazard, 118 and 119 degree temperatures in Arizona.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. it was miserable, to say the least. And then add to that, figure a 15-mile-an-hour wind, you're literally in a sauna and a convection oven in a microwave, when you think about it. And we, as a team, it was a dangerous moment because you don't want your rider to even come close to heat exhaustion of any sort, because that puts you down a complete day, and that can lead to a lot of other things. And so we had Chief double-teamed spraying Michael. We were giving him wet towels, you name it, the team constantly trying to cool down the core of his body, because if we don't keep the core temperatures down, he's not going to be able to perform, nor will he be good resting, doing anything. And so we had all kinds of tricks that we were taught from learning from other crew chiefs and other teams that Michael and myself had researched. We got them through it, and now what we're doing in Kansas, taking advantage of the flat roads and smooth surface, unlike some California roads you know about, and we're making up some good time, actually, to be cranking out 21, 22, and 23 miles per hour average over a large distance, which is really going to make up the time in which we were really only cranking out about 5 or 6, because we just couldn't go anywhere because he couldn't stay on the bike long enough for him to make a really good effort.
Got it. Outstanding. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back to you guys right after a break and ask you a little bit about your experiences as the crew chief, because it takes a full team to make this event happen. We'll be right back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Okay, Susie, hey, we're back with you guys, and, you know, we were sitting here talking a little bit, and it's a big event that you have going. Obviously, Michael's putting in the time on the bike, but tell us a little bit about your guys' experience as a crew, because this is an entire team effort to make this happen, and you've got a mothership, I know, that's involved with a big fifth wheel, and then you've got a chase vehicle. Tell us a little bit about your crew experiences and what's going on for all of you.
Yeah, so that's... We have a mothership that's kind of home base that usually goes out in front of us and gets to where we think Michael's going to sleep. We have our follow vehicle, which is what we're in now that I kind of described, where we follow along and we're always right near Michael. And then we have an auxiliary vehicle that we call the spy vehicle. And it takes care of any things we need. We need a resupply of ice. It'll run up to the next grocery store and then run back to us, and we'll put the ice in the ice chest. And it also is how we get our crew changes. They'll bring the crew in the spy vehicle, and then we swap vehicles. I'm going to let Saren tell you a little bit about the mothership, because that's been mostly her home base. She started joining us in the follow vehicle these last few days, but Saren, Michael's daughter, has been our mothership queen. Tell us what's like being in the mothership, Saren.
Well, it's very busy. We have 9 people right now coming in and out, and we're trying to make food for them to take out to the spy vehicle, the fall vehicle, and, you know, have them sleep, because everyone needs sleep, so the mothership is great for that. And we have to take care of the laundry every 2 days, I believe, because Michael, he has dirty clothes that we can't get any bacteria in, so it's very busy in the mothership.
Constant process. Also, she's in there with her grandpa, who's Michael's father-in-law, and they have been doing a fabulous job of keeping us well-fed and well-cared for, and we couldn't do it without them. It's an amazing machine, these 3 vehicles, and Bob's mind putting us together and knowing who needs to be where and making sure we don't get too tired or too worn out. But those first 2-3 days really sapped us all, because of that desert theme that Bob was describing, it really ended up requiring a lot more needs and attention to Michael. And so we really got sapped. But now, in these last 2 days, we've gotten back on a really good swing, and we're getting more sleep, and we rotate more often, and because Michael's feeling better, it's really been incredible to watch Michael after you just saw him hit rock bottom after the desert and never stop and just keep on pulling through and just slowly watching. I don't know how one gets recharged while riding 200 plus miles a day.
It's incredible. That perseverance is definitely there. Tell us a little bit. What is the sleep like? How much sleep has been even had?
For Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Michael had his longest sleep of the trip last night, and that was 3 hours.
Wow.
So he doesn't get much. So most of the time when we call it a day, he gets 2 to 2.5 hours sleep. Then he wakes up, he has some breakfast, and he gets on the road, and it just naturally ended up happening that when he gets out on the road right after breakfast and he rides about 40 minutes to an hour, he gets real sleepy. So he lays down in the van. We have a makeshift bed here in the van, sleeps for 10 minutes, and he usually ends up doing that twice in the early hours.
Wow.
And then he's set for the day.
What?
And those 10-minute power naps, we've learned, really just charge him up. And then he just goes for the day, and then he gets to the end of the day and gets another 2.5 hours. But yesterday was a really long haul because we're trying to make up that time to get to the Mississippi cutoff. And because of that long haul, he got an extra half hour sleep to prepare him for today, which is going to be another long haul.
Wow.
Want to add to that, Bob?
Yeah. Part of the experiment, or part of what we have to determine throughout the whole process, is what works best for Michael. So we've been experimenting for the past 3 months on his sleep patterns, and he's been training his own sleep patterns to go 3 hours at a time, 4 hours at a time. You can ask Aaron about that. They don't know where their dad is at nighttime because he's usually out sleeping or bicycling, one or the other.
Yeah.
And so what our job was to figure out what works best to keep to work with the distances we have to go and what works best that he can survive on. One of the things that happens to these extreme riders because of the lack of sleep, that amazing organ we call the brain gets confused. All the circuits sort of go a little wacko, and some bad things can happen, like falling asleep, hallucinations, and that kind of thing. So our job is to try to get his sleep pattern so constant, his napping pattern, to the point where we don't have those problems, so that we're not watching him think that there's a red dragon on his shoulder or something flying mystically across the top of his head. So, and he's been very well. We've gotten pretty close to the point of where he might be hallucinating, but then he himself has done a good job of, hey, I think I need a break, or let me get something to eat. And so we monitor that really, really close, and that has a lot to do with the food. If he's climbing, whether, for example, right now, he's on a very flat straight. We call it free pedaling or soft pedaling. It's the term we use in bicycling, where he's going as fast, and he's giving us a signal. He needs water.
Holy cow.
Right now.
Wow, so I can imagine the food, too, is a huge aspect of the fuel. We'd love to hear a little bit more about that in a second when we come back from our break, as well as maybe some of the massage techniques that Sarian is doing with him.
Okay. Michael, can you hear us?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, we'll see you in a sec.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Hey, we're back with, we're very lucky now. We were able to get the writer himself, Mr. Michael Davis Hughes, on the phone with us this morning.
The legend.
Good morning, Michael. Tell us how it's going.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me on the show this morning. How's it going? It's going great.
Understatement.
Yeah, I know. Every day that this goes on, I feel a little bit better, which is kind of counter to what you expect, but the first 2-3 days through the desert were absolutely brutal. You know, having trained mostly in coastal Humboldt County, I just have not experienced that kind of heat, and it zapped my, you know, my energy. And so to get that behind me and now be on the plains of Kansas on a flat, straight road with a tailwind, man, nice. That's an ultra cyclist dream right there.
There you go. So what do you see as the next maybe big challenge coming up for you?
Well, I'm trying to maintain the focus here, maintain my speed. I'm a little behind. Hold on to the truck coming back.
Holy cow, that's a big truck.
Lots of trucks.
Yeah, we've got lots of trucks. I'm a little behind schedule because of the, you know, how much that heat to get out in the desert plain. And now I'm on the plain. The focus is to make up good time. You know, there are 3 intermediate checkpoints of time, and I'm going to make the next one in the Mississippi River. And I'm confident that I can, if I maintain this focus and the support of the team that I have. It's been absolutely incredible.
That's
so
great.
So, Michael, you're cruising along right now. How fast are you riding right now?
Right now, I'm doing between 19 and 20 miles an hour.
Oh, just 19 and 20. Sounds like you're sitting in your recliner. In the heck are you pulling that off? That's amazing.
Do you see other riders out there with you, or are you kind of on this journey on your own?
From time to time. Yesterday, I ran into a couple of riders, which was unusual. That's the most I've run into since the start. And there's a real camaraderie out here.
Oh, I bet.
Because it's such a, you know, kind of a solo event, when you see somebody, you want to connect with them. And yesterday, I was talking to someone who actually was in the crew. And then towards the end of the day, I think I was on hour 15 or something. And it was blowing. I was tired, and it was the eastern side of Colorado.
Right, right.
And my team said, hey, this is the Italian guy that's running.
Uh-huh.
My competition instinct just kind of kicked in, and I started hammering down.
Nice.
I caught up to him, and, you know, we rode together for just a few seconds.
Cool.
And that first second, you know, I grabbed his hand, and come on, we've got this, we can do this.
Oh, right on.
And, you know, we have that camaraderie, and it really is an international event, and it has that flavor of we're looking out for each other. Everybody wants everybody else to succeed.
That's amazing.
Go.
Holy cow. So, yeah, I mean, the chances that you have just to interact with somebody for just a brief moment, that's something that's obviously still lingering with you and that whole camaraderie spirit. And that's one of the things that I thought was interesting, Michael. There's so many different folks from international. It's an international event, isn't it?
It certainly is, yeah. In the solo field alone, there are 33 of us in the solo field. Actually, I don't know how many are left now, but there were 21 different countries represented. So.
Wow.
That was pretty special.
Hey, so can you tell us again real quick while we still have you on the phone, Michael, what's the motivation for you to do this trip? And, you know, so what's keeping you going besides just your personal grit and desire to finish?
Yeah, of course. So also, you know, it's been a real inspiration to be thinking about the students that I'm writing for. You know, the cause.
Another truck.
Yeah, quite a few of them. But yeah, the students who we're writing for, so we have two named students that we're writing for every day who are part, who are receiving the benefits of the Early Literacy Partners Program, run, of course, through the Decade of Difference Initiative at the Cook County Office of Education. And I've seen those students every morning. I have the biography of those students read out to me. And it just pumps me up. I say, you know, I have no excuse. I choose to do this. I choose to do the suffering, but these students don't. They don't have a choice about whether or not they're fluent readers. So we got to kind of help them out. And by doing this, I feel in a small way I'm able to do that. And so it's my pleasure, my honor to be able to do so.
Very cool.
That's great, Michael. Well, definitely people are here rallying around you, and those students are doing their little videos and wishing you good luck, and it's pretty exciting. So we definitely are rooting you on. It's funny, we've seen you satisfy a few of these interesting food cravings along the way. what are you looking forward to the most at the end of this journey? Besides
about
sleep.
Food goes, yeah. You know, well, I think there's some sit-down food. I'm not really sitting down. I'm either, you know, on my way to sleeping. So, you know, I come in, I grab a bite. I'm showering, I guess. I grab another bite, then I go to bed.
Right.
Or I'm on the bike eating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually looking forward to sitting down and having a real good sit-down meal. So, but along the way, yeah, it's been really weird, these food savings, things that I normally would not choose. Like gas station nachos. A Big Mac.
You ate a Big Mac?
Yeah,
it was your first hamburger in, 30 years, did you say?
30, yeah. Well, first McDonald's hamburger. And then last night when I came late, I had fries for breakfast 3 days ago.
Nice.
For breakfast.
Breakfast of champions.
I'm sure it doesn't really feel like a breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It all melds together with the way that you're going.
No, that's part of it, is the open to these new experiences.
Well, listen.
Incredible. It's not just seeing things. It's tasting things, hearing things.
Wow, keep up the amazing...
So, hey, Michael, thanks. We're going to have to go off to the next commercial break here, but we're so proud of you and absolutely excited for all the hard work you're doing. Keep it up, and Humboldt County proud.
Good job, Michael.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Jenny Bowen and Chris Hartley from the support team.
Well, we
at
are
the home
local
front
support
yeah,
team, absolutely. It's a heck of a support team right here in Humboldt County, Brian.
When,
you're
when
right.
When Michael said, hey, boss, I'm kind of thinking sort of about, what do you think? You thought at that point he'd gone off the deep end?
Well, you know, I would have if he'd asked me that. Michael actually works for Eureka City Schools, Brian, so he would have asked Mr. Van Fleck that question.
But isn't there enough engagement between the programs and stuff and say, you know?
Well, yeah, when we talk about, you know, the different programs that we share, sure, I think people were pretty shocked, one, that he wanted to put himself out there, and his, you know, our number one resource is our time, right? And so the amount of time and energy he and his family have put into this event, and the fact that they're doing it for early literacy and to support students in Humboldt County, you know, that's just an outstanding gesture.
So he kind of stepped across the line on his own.
He really did,
so to speak.
He really did, you know, and so it's an undeniable thing. I mean, you got to support that, and people around here have really rallied. His district has rallied around him. They've been extremely supportive from Eureka City Schools. And, you know, this guy's been training, Brian, for months. And Michael's been getting up like 1, 2 in the morning. And before he goes to work, he hits the road. And those have been his training hours for a long, long time. And so this has been like a year endeavor, mm-hmm, at least, I think. Mm-hmm. Don't you, Jenny? That
he's been, I think, doing over this? A year and a half ago or something was when he actually came and talked about that he was going to be embarking on this journey and that he was really excited about the opportunity to support early literacy in our community.
Yeah, the literacy program itself.
Yes.
What kind of need is there for that? What kind of needs do they have?
The early literacy program is really about supporting students one-on-one. So we get community volunteers that are interested in helping. We train them in both reading and math. And they actually work with students each week for twice a week, 20 minutes a time, and really have that one-on-one connection. And we've just found that it's made a world of difference for these kids. The teachers notice the change. Since the beginning of the Decade of Difference, we've had about 855 community volunteers donate over 55,000 hours of service to support over close to 4,000 kids in our community. So it truly is making a big impact. And those that are interested in donating or becoming a part of it can still donate at Michael's Ram, michaelsram.com, Michael, michaelsram.com. You can also find us through the Decade of Difference. And anybody who's interested in taking part in this program or wants to be involved, get in touch with us.
Thanks for coming by this morning.
Hey, thank you. That was really fun.
Thank you so much.
See everybody tomorrow.